Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of the Risen Motherhood Podcast. I'm Emily Jensen. My sister-in-law, Laura Wiffler, will be joining me in just a few minutes. Today, we are kicking off a new series, our final series of the Risen Motherhood Podcast. This is pretty bittersweet, and it's all about mine and Laura's reflections and thoughts, the things we want to leave you with as we plan to close out the ministry of Risen Motherhood in April 2025. But before we jump into today's show, we wanted to take a little bit of extra time at the start of this one to share what to expect in these next few months throughout our sunset. First of all, we want to let you know that our final book that we've written together is releasing on March 4th, 2025, titled A Million Tiny Moments. This is a collection of short writings that Laura and I did together over the years here at Risen Motherhood, and it's meant to give you that quick reminder that what you're doing in the mundane moments of motherhood really does matter. You can pre-order it now or anywhere books are sold, or head to the link in our show notes for more information. And if you want, you can join our launch team for this book. We haven't done one of these in many years, and we would love to have you join. It is completely free, and it comes with all sorts of fun giveaways, exclusive content from Laura and I, and more. If you'd like to be part of this final book launch, you can sign up through the link in our show notes. Okay, another exciting thing on the horizon is the Sunset Celebration Party, and you can be a part of it from afar. So mark your calendar for Saturday, April 5th, 2025. We are going out with a huge party in Fort Worth, Texas, and we'd love it if you grab your mom pals and join us via a simulcast for a time of reflection on all that God has done through the ministry of Risen Motherhood. Tickets are free, so don't worry about that. You just need to register at risenmotherhood.com/celebration party or head to the link in our show notes to have everything ready to go for your simulcast. Okay, so after our celebration party, we have a few more days of the ministry, and then we will officially close our doors on April 11th, 2025. That means our team is going to go their separate ways. You'll see auto responses on our emails, and we'll be archiving some of our social media content. The good news is that all of our articles, podcast episodes, and resources on our website will continue to be available through April 2026. So don't worry, you still have plenty of time to take it all in and share it with your mom pals. If you want to learn more about the Risen Motherhood Sunset, you can head to the link in our show notes. Lastly, remember that Laura and I will continue creating content on our own platforms. We absolutely love to have you join us on social media, via our email list, or however you take in your content. So head to our show notes for links to follow us on our personal platforms. Okay, let's get to today's show.
Okay, Emily, this is our final mini-series.
Wow.
How do you feel?
I have mixed feelings right now.
I think I feel really good. I'm just going to be honest.
I know that I'm going to miss podcasting. Yeah. And I know I'm going to miss podcasting with you.
Yeah.
And so even though right now you and I both always have a lot on our to-do list, mm-hmm. and it can kind of feel like I'm ready for some time to free up, I'm ready to feel like a little bit more capacity for different things, I also know that in a few months, I'm going to have some idea for something and realize like there's no podcast coming. And then I will feel a little bit sad, but it's bittersweet, and it's so bizarre to me because I can remember some of our first podcast episodes and it feels like a million years ago and it also feels like yesterday.
Yeah.
And so it's just such a full circle moment, and it's so special that we're getting to sort of see the period at the end of the sentence after all of the work and like the time and everything.
Yeah, I would say I feel really good. And then I feel really weird. Uh-huh. And all I mean by that is like, I think I am really excited because we're able to finish well. And that feels so special mm-hmm. and so rare. And, you know, you and I have been preparing for this for a lot longer than even I know our listeners have known about it. And I just feel like a sense of peace and completeness. And I feel like you don't get that very often mm-hmm. in anything. I was going to say my career, but really in anything where you feel like this, like a total sense of peace.
Yeah.
Like I don't have any doubts. I mm-hmm. wondered if when we announced it, I would have doubts, mm-hmm. but I have zero doubts. Mm. And that feels really good. But then, of course, it is sad. Like you said, I think I'll miss working so closely with you. I mean, who knows what the future will bring, but that and like our team, just how incredible. Yeah. I'm always like, what are we doing giving up this great team that we have? They're so awesome. And so anyway, as we're rounding that final corner, let's review the plan just a little bit for our listeners.
I feel like this is such a mom thing. Like, let's talk about where we're going. Let's talk about the expectations are.
Yeah. That's so true.
Let's set clear expectations. So yeah, we just wanted to bring this back up.
There's a lot happening.
It's been a while since we've talked about this. We had a full fall of sharing some of these like last really important principles we wanted to share with you guys. So hopefully you tuned into that series. Like, again, when we started to think about what are the final pieces of the puzzle before we sunset Risen Motherhood, it was really important to us that we taught you guys everything that we know, everything that we've learned, and that all of those principles were out there. So that was last fall. And then this series that we're in right now is going to be the final podcast series for Risen Motherhood. And this is really like all of the thoughts, all of the reflections, all of the predictions that we want to leave you guys with. And we're going to do like a lot of even dissecting, like what were some of the critiques of Risen Motherhood? What do we hope the legacy is? What are our expectations for you going forward?
Expectations.
So this is going to be just a really, it's like a joyful season, but it's also, I think, a weighty, sober season. Yeah, we're excited to get into this. So this is our final series.
Yes.
Yes. But I know one thing we wanted to take a chance to share before Risen Motherhood ended is just like the handful of ways that God has changed us in our time at Risen Motherhood. This sounds very meta, doesn't it? But yeah, hopefully it'll be interesting. It's sort of an exit interview of sorts.
Yeah, I like to think of it as an exit interview. And I, of course, by no means will this be exhaustive, but we wanted to share a handful of the things that have bubbled up over the years that I know I can for sure look back on and you can look back on and say, wow, we were really shaped for the better by Risen Motherhood. So the first thing I think that we would say is that Risen Motherhood taught us to be more compassionate for others who did things differently and to not make assumptions about people or speak flippantly about a life experience or just to be really intentional with our words.
Yeah. I know this was something, I say we learned the hard way a little bit, but truly I think, I know for me when I started out motherhood, I just had a very just narrow and limited view of what it looked like. And I think as we heard from moms all over the world in a lot of different circumstances and people were writing us in and sharing about their problems and their concerns and the things that they were facing and the ways they related to us, but also the ways they didn't relate mm-hmm. to us. And also like as you and I walk through more motherhood and we experienced more suffering and more sorrow and more disappointments, and we realized like, wow, this isn't always really going the way that I thought it would go or the way I wanted it to go. I think hopefully we both grew in compassion and awareness of the wide variety of situations that moms are facing and the wide variety of decisions that they make. And I know like I was really challenged by that. And even when we got to the point where we were editing articles, there were so many times where, and you did this too a little bit, but I would say, what hat am I wearing? And I would try to read things as like, okay, how would a mom whose husband is not a believer, how would this hit her? Mm-hmm. How would a woman who's struggling with secondary infertility read this? You know, thinking about things from different angles, and we were definitely not perfect at this by any means, but I really think that was something I know I changed a lot in over the years.
Yeah. I think it put a lot of teeth to the reality of if we believe the gospel is transcendent, it applies to all people for all of time, then what does that really look like when you're unpacking the gospel in 1,000 different situations? And for us, it definitely taught us to start thinking, like you said, to put ourselves in another mom's shoes, even if we hadn't necessarily lived that experience, but to just try to consider her more carefully. And I'm thankful for this change. I think it's been really good for me, like holistically in my whole life. Like, of course, at Risen Motherhood. But now I feel like even when I'm engaging with other people in real life, or I'm working on something for my church or whatever, this skill comes into play, because it does take time to sort of grow and like remembering, hey, I want to think of the other person. I want to put myself in somebody else's shoes. And it's something too that I'm really trying hard to teach my children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard someone one time say, if someone is doing something, you're like, oh, I don't like that, or I don't think that seems right, like try to challenge yourself to think of a few reasons why they would be doing that aren't automatically bad reasons. It might just be practical reasons. And again, it's like kind of growing in that compassion and awareness of different situations. So,
okay. Another one.
Okay. Let's do another one.
Another way I think we've grown is it has taught us to have a deep well. And what I mean by that, Emily, do you remember when we traveled for a podcast interview and they were going to do like 5 shows, and this was like a real studio, you know, a real place. It even said like on air up high in the window. And I remember we didn't get any pre-interview questions. Mm-hmm. And she was basically like, you can bring your Bible and that's it. And I was like, what? You know, like I was just like,
yeah, we were very note dependent.
Oh, very note dependent. Mm-hmm. And she,
I still love notes. But I've changed a little bit. Continue.
Well, this interviewer said to us, she was like, you'll be fine. You can just speak from the well. Do you remember that?
We're like, what? Well.
I know. But she was so confident in us. And, you know, it turned out that those interviews were great. I didn't say everything perfectly, but I think there was something of, I had to learn, one, to trust myself that I have a well, but two, I think it taught me that, hey, I want to cultivate the well. I want to feed the well so that I have it when I need it. Does that make sense?
Yes. I think it's a little bit like in Bible study. This is another thing that I think I've learned kind of throughout Risen Motherhood, is that it's way more, you know, like a savings account in the sense that like whatever I'm reading that day may not even apply in that moment, or like be sort of spent that day on like encouragement that I need. But what I'm doing is I'm like storing up truths, and I'm learning all these different things, because down the road, there is a day where I might need wisdom, or I might need to apply the gospel, or I might be studying a different passage of scripture, and that passage helps provide context. And now I have a light bulb that goes off. And then I actually have something to like draw from, because there's been this, you know, well there. And it's interesting because it's not just for content creation, but like also for our lives and for motherhood. And that's where that crossover of like having the deep well comes from, where I've been so appreciative of saying, hey, you don't know what you're going to need to know.
Right.
And there have been so many times even where I've been like editing articles, or I've been reviewing resources for the website, and I've been like sort of tempted to like foo-foo something because I'm not going through that right now. Or I'm like, I don't know, does anybody really need this resource or that resource? But then like one day I did, and I was so glad that I had thought about that issue in motherhood before I needed it. Or I had thought about, I remember one topic specifically is like, what does it look like to walk through grief and suffering well? I feel like I had to consume a lot of resources about that before we walked through some really deep grief and suffering in our family. And I was glad that I had like something to draw from, and I wasn't just starting from scratch.
Yeah. I love that. I think this next thing that we learned relates to this. It's the fact that Risen Motherhood taught us how to trust the Spirit to work. And, you know, earlier I even said like, hey, it taught me to trust myself. And I think ultimately I should even rephrase that, but this element of trusting the Spirit to work. And I know that you and I have really found that to be very true, that the Spirit like really does give you words that you didn't know you had, really does show up in times that you need. And just this element, I think, that Risen Motherhood has put me in a lot of spaces where I've felt insecure, or I felt scared, a lot of anxiety, or not knowing what the right answer is, or not wanting to do something and being like, why did I say yes to this? You know, that whole thing. And it really has put me in deep dependency on the Lord, and truly like saying like, okay, God, I don't have what it takes. Like my well probably isn't deep enough, you know, like I'm trying to cultivate, I'm trying to make deposits, I'm trying to be faithful,
but it's not deep enough to do this thing that you've got me in. And so you're going to have to like perform here. You're going to have to show up. And I think that that has been just a great lesson of learning to trust the Lord. And even trusting that God is bigger than our failures. Mm-hmm. And that somehow, like, even as we share, God still continues to use the ministry, like, despite mm-hmm. our failures and imperfections and all the ways that we maybe haven't gotten things right or not had a deep enough well, like, the gospel still goes forth. It's not dependent mm-hmm. upon us, but he chooses to use us. And mm-hmm. that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I love Romans 1:16, and I think about this verse often. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And man, I literally almost every time we get a message from someone who's like, oh, Risen Motherhood changed me, I think about, oh, that's the power of the gospel yeah. at work. Mm-hmm. Like, that's actually the Spirit at work through the word. And we were just sort of like this conduit or, you know, that was like a delivery mechanism yeah. for the thing that actually had the power. And that has given me so much more confidence in my personal evangelism. And I think when I first started Risen Motherhood, I was weirdly, even though we were talking on a podcast, like very timid in my real life of talking to people about faith or like asking them hard questions or sharing gospel truths with them. And over the years, the more I've seen God just like use whatever rambling what it is that we do on the show and like get to see the power of the gospel transform people, I'm like, oh, all I gotta do is share this with them and like God will do the work or he won't do the work for whatever reason. And okay. Like, yeah. And it's just been so fun and so freeing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I love that. Like just the self-forgetfulness, I think that can come with trusting the Spirit and saying, mm-hmm. let him do the work. So another one is that Risen Motherhood has taught us how to be humble and course correct.
Ugh. Yeah. This one has been really tough. You know, I think one of the things we've felt over the years is the weight of Risen Motherhood. Of being a leader, I think. I wasn't really starting
like
out
thinking about that.
Thinking that like we were leading something, we were leading a team, or we were like somehow leading women. It's still awkward for me to say that or like think about. But, you know, the reality is of leaders, like they can't please everyone. They won't please everyone. They won't do everything right. You make mistakes and you do it in front of everyone. You know, you struggle. You know that you're going to do something and a bunch of people are going to follow you and you're not sure if you're headed in the right direction. And I think that almost like crushed me at times. Mm. Like there were times when I was just like, I want to quit because that is such a crushing, terrifying pressure. But I remember you've said this to me many times and my husband said this to me many times, like when we were going to put something out, it's like, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. Like, people are going to be led astray and everything's going to burn to the ground and it's all going to be horrible. And he's like, the worst thing is like, you apologize if you do something wrong and you clarify and you set it straight. And then God works in and through that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so I think like, oh yeah, that would stink. And I would be like mortified, but also God would be with me like even there.
Yeah. I think that it is very humbling to have all of your mistakes be, or many mistakes be very public and have to pivot publicly. And I think that it's definitely taught me, because I have a tendency that when I'm corrected or really like, if I feel like it's unjust, right? Like I don't agree with them. Like I have zero fear. I do tend to be a high justice person and really like want to defend and have people understand me. And I have had to get a lot more used to being misunderstood mm-hmm. and to not defend myself. And I think when someone's right, like I have no problem pivoting, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that like, I've been really, really thankful whenever I get something and you and I talk and we're like, actually, yeah, this person does have a really great point. Mm-hmm. But then for all of that, there's also all the ones where you're like, hey, here's the hundreds of reasons why we're not going to do that. We understand that you don't see that. But I don't get the chance to defend myself. And that has been hard, but it's been really good for me, I think, to learn to just trust that, like, what does God think about me? Mm-hmm. What does Emily think about me? What does my team think? What does my husband think? My kids, my church body. And if, hey, we're all good, then like, okay, whatever mm-hmm. about this critique or comment, I don't have to vindicate myself. Like, I can trust that at the end of the day, God's going to take care of that, you know, whatever's been said to me probably isn't even that bad. and that I just want to be right with my people. And so I think that's been really good for me to be able to learn to just let things slide and not feel that I have to self-justify, mm-hmm. even if I'm right. Because I'm always right.
The Lord knows. The Lord knows.
Yeah, the Lord knows.
Another way we've grown is just really in our understanding of the importance of community on mission. Really behind the scenes, I feel that we created so many connections and we had so many friends. And honestly, like a lot of people that reached out to us that were incredibly generous with their time and incredibly generous with their mentorship. And man, I just look back and I'm like just a gal in the middle of cornfields in central Iowa on a microphone doing nothing. Like, how did we get connected to these people? Or like, how did this happen? It's all the Lord. But I think we do want to just acknowledge like how thankful we have been for those who have invested in us, helped us, given us their time, given us content. We have not done this alone by any means. No. Like you can never do ministry alone.
But. Yeah. I have been very impressed and grateful and reminded of like how much I want to pay it forward when I look back and see all the people who invested in us. And it's sort of that mentality that all ships rise and that when we band together and we help one another, we share knowledge, we share techniques and tactics and strategies, then everyone benefits. And I think that's something that like I sort of believed in theory when Risen Motherhood started, but to see it like actually boots on the ground play out has been really beautiful. And I think too, like we owe a lot to our team and to the board for really helping us get to where we go. So yeah, for sure.
And a quick shout out to as well to our In Real Life community, I think who also were on mission with us in like a lot of unseen ways, whether that's our families who have, you know, spent a lot of time with kids and different things, our husbands who've been very supportive and flexible over the years, and our churches.
Yeah. Okay, another thing we've learned is it has taught us to value work over results. I think for us, speaking a little bit of like, hey, how do people notice us or whatever? I think that this, I've always, again, believed this, and then we saw it come to fruition, that content is king, like doing good work, doing it in an ethical, moral, consistent way that honors the Lord will eventually get noticed. And it might be a slower pace and it might be not as, it's usually not as quick as other types of strategies, but just seeing like what a consistent, faithful plod does. And I think you and I really learned like the most important thing that we can do is put our heads down and do the work and trust that God is sovereign. He's going to do what he wills. We can't strong arm results. I think I shared this before at Risen Motherhood on a show, but you know, I have released a lot of books now at this point. And I think there have been some books that it's like, I hardly did anything. I didn't know what I was doing. And wow, that one really took off. Only God, right? And this other book just went everywhere and should have like done really, really well, but maybe didn't take off as much. And at the end of the day, I don't have to wonder or worry. I'm just like, okay, I trust God with the results that he's getting it to the right people that want it and need it. And I don't need to strong arm things into happening, but that I can trust what he will be done. And our job is not to achieve some certain result. Our job is to do the work well and faithfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were so many times over the years where we really were kind of, you and I as content creators, backed further and further away from the numbers as well. You know,
like I think— Yeah, we used to really care about numbers and now I could not even tell you.
Yeah, and I don't even know, you know, like what our podcast downloads are.
I have no
idea. I don't even know what any of those things are. And I think that's been a really good, healthy thing because it's allowed us to focus on, like you were saying, the content that we're creating, the faithfulness of it, the excellence of it, and then saying, hey, yeah, there's a place to talk about numbers and growth and the return on investment and all those things. But like, that doesn't have to be what's driving us.
And and our team knows to alert us.
Someone is watching
just for the record.
But like, it's just this, and I think in real life, it's helped me too. Real life. This is real life. Okay. In my non-podcasting life, it's also been really helpful because this idea that just because something is big or it's growing doesn't mean it's like blessed by God.
Yes.
And
that's
just
good.
Because something is small or it appears that it's not growing doesn't mean that like God isn't for it or that it's not doing something meaningful. And a story that always stuck with me to that end is really the story of like Adoniram Judson.
who was a missionary to Burma in the 1800s. And a bunch of you guys are probably really familiar with this story, but like his missionary journey in that was like incredibly hard. Anytime I've heard about his story, I'm like, that's a lot of suffering, a lot of struggle, a lot of pain, a lot of persecution. And it just seemed like there was no visible fruit in his lifetime. Like, I think he died, and I'm making this number up, but it was something to the effect of like 6 people or something had been converted. Like, it was just, he'd given his lifetime to this ministry in Burma. Well, now, right, we're in 2024, and there's reportedly over 2 million Christians in Burma. Wow. And many historians would attribute that to Adoniram Judson's ministry. So the gospel can look like it's not doing anything and it's being rejected and it's not like doing these big flashy things right away. And yet, like, God is in the business of like multiplying the tiny seed that's planted into like this big tree that eventually produces a lot of fruit, even in and through persecution. So I don't know. It's a mystery to me, but I also think like that's something that's really been hammered home in my heart.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, I'm going to have you do this next one, Emily. I didn't...
Oh.
I feel like only you...
Okay, what did I have to say here? Let's see.
You wrote this, taught us... Risen Motherhood taught us about leadership and culture.
Oh, yeah. This is more of like an internal thing in terms of our team, because I remember... You remember, Laura, you and I, when we started to bring on team members, and then we had to like teach them to do things that we were doing. And we were like,
oh yeah. It's like, how do you teach what you've never been taught?
We were like, we don't know. And we had to do all of this unraveling. And I feel like over the years, I did not go into Risen Motherhood thinking we're going to lead an organization. We're going to have women that we're working with, or even like writers. You know, like, I've done a lot of work, you know, we both have to like develop writers in this space over the years. And I just think that facet of it to me was unexpected. Mm. And it's also been a huge joy and blessing, but it's also made me think a lot harder about what creates a good culture or like environment to be in. And that has translated into, you know, church groups that I've been a part of or into my family life of like, what tone am I setting here? What is it looking like to come alongside these people to equip them to do work, to kind of what you're saying with All Ships Rise, to say like, how can I find the gifts in these people and then support them to go and run and do, and not sort of like hold them back with like micromanagement or my own opinions or preferences about things. And so, I don't know, I've learned a ton of lessons about that, which may may not be interesting to people who are listening, but like there's this whole internal facet as well that has caused a lot of growth for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's definitely, I love entrepreneurship. I love business. And I couldn't have told you that, oh, I really want to run a ministry someday or anything. Cause yeah, you and I have both been really honest. Like, this wasn't the plan, but I think that has been one of the most fun things for me is cultivating our team members' gifts and just seeing them fly. I mean, Risen Mother's a little bit of a place where like, you're going to sink or swim, like on your own, like we're going to support you, but also, you know, remote workers, and it can be hard to, to like, with moms on all different schedules, because we want to be really supportive to that lifestyle. And so I think you're right though, like just fostering a team, understanding like what makes a team tick, work well together. Even I know for me, like I wasn't planning on saying this, but like working within a budget, that has been really good for me. You know, I tend to be the one in my marriage who's just kind of like, la-di-da-da, you know, tell me if there's a problem. And it's been really good for me. We have a great finance director. She's incredible. But just seeing like, okay, how do we really think through the math and the strategy and the numbers of it all? And God has been so gracious to provide, but also still working within like what he has provided and not working beyond our means or things like that. So I think I've learned a lot more on like that legal business side that has been, it's not my most fun side of things. Yeah. I remember, do you remember at one point we were both like, all we're doing is legal and finance. Yeah. It felt like we weren't even doing what we wanted to do
anymore.
There
was like a year or two there that it was very heavy as we were setting everything up.
Yeah, when we became, the year we became a nonprofit, it felt like all we were doing was legal and finance and HR. And thankfully, we've got the right people in the right places. They're incredible.
That's a whole thing.
Okay. Another one is, Risen Motherhood taught us that the gospel really does apply and speak to everything. And we know this might come as a surprise, as something we actually learned, but I don't know about you, if you would say this, Emily, but I felt like I don't think that I was really sure. I think that I knew it spoke to these big things, but every show we did, because at first we were just doing podcasts, right? We weren't writing. Every show we did, I felt like, well, I don't know. Let's kind of discover how it does or what it does and in what ways. And it was incredible to me that I think that first year or two, we never let off the brake of creating shows. We did one every week for a very, very long time. So we had like 50 to 100 shows that were coming out. And I just kept being like, oh my gosh, and there's another topic, and there's another topic, and the gospel applies to that, and to that, and to that. And so it was just one of those like revelatory things. I think that we learned, or I learned in the early years mm-hmm. that, oh my goodness, there is not a topic on the planet that you can't go to scripture and glean wisdom for.
Yeah. So encouraging.
It's like kind of shocking.
It is.
Like we lived thousands of years past when this book was written, and it's like relevant.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, people. That's crazy.
I know. And that's such a comfort and encouragement, I think, in our culture today where it feels like, how do you even know what's true? And what's right and wrong feels like it's shifting every day and everyone has their own opinion and I just want to live my truth. And I think as a Christian, it can feel very chaotic. And this was like part of our heart to start the show is like, but what's right?
Yeah.
Like capital R.
Totally was.
Right.
It totally was.
Like, cause I want to do what God says.
I want to do the best way.
Yeah.
I want the best.
And I'm like, I want it. Yeah. Like if God has a good design, like I want to follow it.
It totally came from almost like a, it's not, it wasn't prideful, but it could almost sound that way. I think we were genuine and earnest.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, yeah, I want the capital R way.
I want the capital R right way. Yeah. And it is refreshing to be like, you know what? Like God's word really does give wisdom and commands and principles to like every area of life. Mm-hmm. And what we find in some of those things is that there's a lot of freedom to do whatever you feel led to mm-hmm. do. And yet there are like some hard and fast truths that don't change. And it's given me such confidence even in consuming content to be able to sift through like, okay, this is something where there's a lot of freedom and within bounds, there's not a capital R right strategy for this. But then also there are some things that people are sharing that are shifting. Like the very unchangeable foundations of God's truth. And I get to reject that and teach others to do the same. So it's just like a whole thing that's been awesome.
Well, and sort of a little bit of a right turn here, but related with applying the gospel to everything, I think one big thing that you and I both had to learn too was how to take our thinking and make it like applicable so that others could do it too. And we didn't really realize we had a system until we slowed down and wrote down the system. And we put that in our kind of last book, Gospel Mom. The system is really in there. So if you're wondering, how do I think like Lauren and Emily have thought or do what they kind of do on the podcast, it's all in there in a very methodical way. And I thought that that was a really interesting process for you and I to go through, where we had been doing this thing for years and years and years, and it was very much under our skin, but how we do what we do was somewhat vague. And so I think that that was like a good practice for us, and that now I feel like this skill is very transferable to other people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Finally, this is a big one here. Risen Motherhood taught us what it means to live in light of redemption, right? That was where the name came from. That was our heart in this whole thing is like, what does it mean to be a mom who is changed by the fact that Jesus died for her and rose again? And you know, we wrote down a lot of like these principles in Gospel Mom. There's like kind of a manifesto in there. So if you have that, like that's kind of what we're referring to or some of those principles there. But I just think it's been so beautiful to be able to learn that over the years and then like walk in freedom as a result of that. And honestly just have, I don't know if it's getting older or what, but I was thinking the other day, our pastor shared, it was like three ways to know like what God's called you to or something about that.
Yeah,
and it was essentially like, you got to obey the Bible. Oh no, what are they? You got to obey the Bible. Oh, you need to be faithful in what you've already been given to do.
Yeah.
Like there's like clear things that like are already in front of you that you need to be faithful to. And then like, look at like where you're gifted and you're fruitful. And I was just thinking about—
or what breaks your heart.
Yeah, what breaks your heart. Like where are the issues that you're sort of like drawn to. And I just think it's been so fun because as motherhood has gone on and I've thought more and more about what does it mean to live a risen motherhood, I think I've also
been able to live more into my calling. And the other day, like my husband was saying, hey, we should get help with this or that thing. And I thought it was so interesting that I was like, I don't feel defensive right now. Mm. Like, I think if he would have said that 10 years ago, I would have been like, well, do you think I'm failing? And like, why do you think we need help in this area? Because you think, you know, I can't do it and I can't do it all myself. Mm-hmm. And like, what does that mean? And I just sort of was like, yeah, let's get help.
Yeah.
And like, I feel secure in the way that God is using me in the kingdom and that I can't do everything.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know, kind of a revelation moment for me.
I love that. Yeah. The idea of as you root your identity in Christ, like the more secure you are in who you are. And also like, I think the more willing you are to change to be more like Christ.
Yes.
If that makes sense. Yeah. I love this. The live in light of redemption. A lot of people ask us, what does risen motherhood even mean? You know, and I get that, but it just means that, remember, we're on this side of the cross. We have all these promises in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living in us if we trust in Christ. And we have the hope of heaven yet to come. And so I think, like you said, and there's tons of promises in the Gospel Mom book. I mean, the Risen Motherhood book, the Million Tiny Moments, all of those, like, it's woven into everything we do. And I think for me, it's just been, I think this is my optimism side coming out. I tend to, like, have this very easy ability to have an eternal perspective. And part of that was really fostered by my parents of asking and pushing us towards having an eternal perspective. And sometimes that forces me, I kind of can wish away the here and now. And I think Risen Motherhood has been really good for me of just recognizing the promises that I have today, the hope and help that I have in this moment, that I don't live like to just endure and survive until heaven where everything's going to be better, which I think is a little bit my mentality is like survive, you know, grit through it and get to like the good thing of heaven. But instead, like I can live a flourishing life here and now. And I have the help of the Holy Spirit to change me and grow me and enjoy life in this moment. And so I think that has been really helpful for me. I think, you know, each person probably has a natural bent. They're either like really curious and into the here and now, and they kind of forget about heaven, or you're kind of like more heaven focused and you don't really think about the here and now as much, or at least the promises that we have in Christ. And so either way, I think it's good, to just swing back that pendulum a little bit. And I've been really thankful because this ministry has forced me, because we go through the gospel, creation, fall, redemption. And in that section, I'm forced to think, okay, what hope do I have right this moment? Mm-hmm. Instead of endure and then someday it's gone.
Yeah.
How can I live well in this moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like the biggest thing for me has been walking in freedom from fear. And early in my motherhood, I think, and along the way, I've had like a very fear-based approach, like deep down in my heart, if I'm super honest, where I was like, I'm scared I'm not going to be good enough, or I'm scared I'm going to ruin my kids, or I'm scared about how this is going to affect my reputation. And I think like there are a lot of things to fear. Like bad stuff happens and like the fall is real, but
I think we have a mini series on that.
Oh, we do. You're right.
Something that could help.
Maybe that was like when I had a breakthrough. Yeah, go listen to that. But I just think really believing like God is in control and learning to make decisions more and more. And I still need to correct on this from a place of like trusting God and doing something because I think that this is what's going to further the kingdom, or this is in alignment with God's heart, and not because I'm scared of what's going to happen if I don't. And I just think so many moms walk in fear. So hopefully Risen Motherhood has helped others in that same way.
I love that. Okay, well, we have come to the end of our list of all of the ways Risen Motherhood has changed us. Again, thousands upon thousands of more ways. I think some of them we don't even know or recognize.
Not even aware of. God's like, I really corrected this big thing in you and you're not even acknowledging it.
Seriously, I'm sure when we get to heaven someday, we'll see all of those things.
Hi, my name is Yami, and I'm part of the Risen Motherhood community because I recently followed prompting from the Holy Spirit to leave my law enforcement career to stay at home and be a mom and just wait for the Lord to show me what He wants me to do next. So I'm readjusting and reconnecting my mind to be a stay-at-home mom who lives for Christ and to look for what the Lord is teaching me in the everyday mundane and to connect to other moms in the same way.
Risen Motherhood will cease producing new content in April 2025, but all content from the ministry will be available through April 2026. To all of the donors who have made this ministry possible over the years, we are so thankful for your support. For more information, visit risenmotherhood.com.